session number 11314, reel 4.
Mr. Pettifer, reel 4.
The reason why we was on the Roystra is because the Egyptian crew couldn't stand up to the heavy raids that the Germans was giving us every night in Alexander Harbour.
And when did you join the Roystra, do you know?
Well, we got sunk on the 24th of June, I would say about 3 weeks afterwards we got that. But as you know, that the Aussies was there, they come straight from Aussie land. And as I say, they when we got there, they was more or less in charge. They was running the ship themselves, but we had to have a leading AB and an AB quarterdeck and AB forecastle to take charge of them.
How big was the crew of this tug?
No more than 12, if anything, it was 12. It was only a seagoing tug. I should say, before each. Four each in the forecastle, four men in the forecastle, four men in quarter deck with AB one end and AB the other, so that's five, say ten. But you had stokers, so that was a couple of stokers. There would have been about 12.
Who was the captain?
The captain was, I wouldn't know the captain. I think he was a chief PO who handled it. He was in charge of us. I think he done the running of the handling the ship. Our job was to the aircraft carrier. If an aircraft carrier or battleship had to go out, we had to pull it out and push it out, and when it come in, put them in position like for anchoring sort of thing.
But you were all totally inexperienced at doing this type of thing.
Yes, we were.
So it's a wonder you didn't have an accident, really.
Well, it wasn't that hard, sort of thing. If a ship broke down, we went out and strung the wires and towed it. Or same as we used the wires. That's what I was telling you about splicing. What you do when you want to get a wire to a ship, you put an heaving line over and then tie the... And they pull the wire on to their bollards and you do the pulling, sort of thing.
And all this was in Alexandria Harbour.
Harbour, yeah, and just outside. We used to, if a ship broke down and got bombed or something like that, we used to go out and pull it in. We was only on it a few weeks because the raid ceased, and I think we was that incompetent that I was pleased to have the Egyptians back. I put it that way. That's my own opinion. See? Anyway, from there, we went back to the desert again. Rehabilitation, and I got picked up. I lost my mate then. I got taken to this HMS Nile.
This was a shore base.
And it's stuck out on, you know, the harbour. I don't suppose you know the harbour where the harbour goes out down, like forms like that, isn't it?
A semicircle.
Well, the base was there, but the harbour itself was about three quarters that way, and about a mile and a half that way, and then short that end sort of thing, you know. And we used to have to patrol up and down there. We did after that's the most important part. Two battleships got sunk, they sunk in the harbour, but it didn't go down because it was shallow water. But they got tinfished by human you know, what's them fellas?
These are the Italian attacks.
Italian attacks, yeah. But our job then, when we were talking about air raids, was Jerry used to come over every night and drop mines so that we couldn't use the harbour. And we had about 10 kikes. That was Greek kikes, would have been come over from Greece, like to help with the war. It used to be manned by the Greek crew, but there used to be two British seamen on each kite, and you'd have a board, and you had to a compass, and used to go out. They used to tow you out in a rowing boat. This cart used to tow your rowing boat, and they'd drop you at anchor so many, I'd say, hundreds of yards one way and somewhere else, so that when the air raid started, you had to be alert and see if there's any mines dropping, and if you did, you had to locate them on your chart so that before the ships moved the next morning, the mines would have to go round and do it, and that's what we had to do.
This was in Alexandria Harbour.
Now, what happened was that we knew there was going to be a raid on Alexandria for the battleships, but we didn't know when, because the harbour of Mayup was closed every night and opened every morning.
The boom,
yeah. They towed a ship in that had been injured, had been bombed, and they must have got underneath the ship as it come in, because they blew the Valiant and the QE, blew them up, and that, as I say, as they was in that shallow water in the harbour, it just rested on the bottom, and I was able to salvage them. So as I say, that
was it difficult to do this mine spotting duty, or was it easy?
Well, it wasn't. It was funny. I mean, I shouldn't really put this on there, but when the QE and the Valiant got hit, they decided to, all them crew that wasn't doing nothing, to back us up. So instead of us having two men on a kite or a rowing boat, we was four, and it was two of them battleship wallers and two of us, and we used to take turns each of keeping watch. Now I was senior AB, and therefore I had to do the judging where it was coming. And I can remember one night we had a hell of a raid, and there was flares coming down, there was parachutes coming down, bombs coming down, and the others was all added up underneath there. I listened to them the night before, because I was crafty. I used to know when the raid was coming, being an old hand at it sort of thing, been a few weeks, what time Jerry would come. He'd come about 2 or 3 in the morning. Well, I'd say, well, I'll get my head down to 12, and you can have your head down afterwards, knowing full well that they would never get their head down, see? So that's what I did. And I can always remember working this out, getting the North Star and that star, and working it out there, and doing the paperwork. And I'd done it all on myself, and I can always remember, they said, they come down to pick it up. They come down about 5:30 in the morning to pick it up, right, on the boat come round. I said, I'm not quite ready yet, and I was there. Anyway, I said to these three, two Aussies, and I said, will you sign this? And they said, oh, no, we're not going to sign it. You've done it, you do it. Well, they come out, and I took it away, and of course, at about 9 o'clock, they come out and collect you. And when they came and collected, they said, Pettifer, you're wanted in the commander's office as you go. Now, when you go, as I say, when you go these things, you'd get up an old overcoat and all that, you know, to keep warm. You're not like a matter at all, like an old tramp. You can do anything to keep warm. And I said, well, what have I done wrong now? Could I have done it? I must have done that. What's I more wrong? The report. Because I didn't put so-and-so and so, so many miles or so many degrees from the North Pole. I just said, I know the name of the ship, well, it dropped near there. Put that name of that ship there, or it dropped there, or something else. See? And because I was there. Anyway, when I get there, this is here at 9 o'clock in the morning, I have to go up to this office, and there's rain there. And a big office like this. He said, "Hey, what's up, Pettifer? Sit down there. Want a cigarette?" And I said, what's going on here? So he said, I've been on this job for a long while now, he said. He says, and this is the sort of report I want. I want you to go round and do everyone and tell them what to do. Because this I could understand what you was on about, all this degrees there. He said, that degrees could go for miles. He said, but you're pointing where that ship was. We knew where it was. He said, and that's the thing I'm looking for. See, so I said, he said, I want you to come off that what's name now. I want you to take turns and go around and show everybody. See? So I said, well, sir, I said, in respect, I know there's a war on, sir, but I said, I'm due to go home. I've been out there over 2 years, see, in the thick of it. I said, I'm expecting, I want to go home. So he said, oh, well, he said, you know there's a war. I mean to say you could drop out here. He said, but I won't. He said, if you get your recall, he said, I'll let you go. But he didn't let me go. As I say, I was stopped here about another 6 or 7 weeks on that before, as when I got home, to go home.
So it was in the autumn of 1942 in Alexandria that you were doing these duties?
Yeah, yeah, because we got sunk on the 24th of June, I don't remember it. Yeah.
Did you see many ships in Alexandria Harbour go up on mines?
No. If I see one break its back, British Lord, I think the name it was. He tried to come in without a pilot. He tried to come in without a pilot. And he landed on a it must be a, what do you call it, a sandbank, and it broke its back. Now, when we used to do mine spotting, we'd be on that ship just to keep the mine spotters outside the harbour. I mean, you gradually see that ship getting wider and wider, you know, the bows and the stern gradually went adrift. You wouldn't think it possible. I don't know what I'm saying, but as the sea got rough, so the break got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. There was, as I say, the QE. You see the QE go up and the Valiant. And I think a couple of they'd done a couple of others and all with these mines. But I didn't actually see the merchant ship. I think some been damaged. You see, we done 24 on and 24 off. See, something could happen while I wasn't there. But as I say, I was there when the Valiant and QE went up. And as I say, we used to have a rifle and a very pistol. The very pistol was if you see two men somewhere coming in or any suspicious, and a rifle was to shoot them with. As I say, we 6 or 7 weeks, I think. Maybe a bit more on that before I got me calling up papers. You had to wait for relief before you got calling up. As I say, we got on the troop ship at Alex. No, it was Suez. And we were 13 weeks getting home. That's a long while on a ship.
Through the Mediterranean?
Through the Mediterranean. No, long way around. Red Sea, we went to Red Sea, India, South Africa, Trichomelee, right round like that, 13 weeks. We had to wait for, the reason why it was so long, we had to wait for a slow convoy. The ship we was on called the Volendam, the Volendam, it was a, I don't know, Dutch or Belgium ship, but with a British crew. And we've, as I say, we're 13 weeks getting home. We got into Portsmouth Barracks, done our medical, and had 35 days leave. And of course, remember, I think I got £30 or £35. That went in, well, the time we give mum some to look after it, it wasn't much. But I had a good 35 days leave. My old dad looked after me when I was home.
That was still in Charlton, was it?
Charlton, yeah. See? Oh, that was good, that was. As I say, I went back to Portsmouth Barracks, and I had to do a gunnery course, an AA3, an ACAC3, and I had to go to that was Whale Island. I'd done so many weeks at Whale Island, and then I got transferred to a place called Ainsdale, HMS Queen Charlotte, at the shore base, Queen Charlotte. And it was the nicest place I've ever been to. The wrens run everything. The wrens used to wake you up in the morning. I can remember that. Oh, you gotta get up. You remember Betty Driver used to sing a song like that? Oh, you gotta get up. Oh, you gotta get up in the morning. And then when you'd be there, there'd be the wrens waiting on you for breakfast. The wrens done everything. Of course, everybody was dipping their course. stay on there forever.
They were dipping their what?
Their course. You have a course.
How do you mean they were deliberately failing?
Well, doing things wrong. When you get halfway through a course, they put you on a guns, and they have a sleeve. You ever see the RAF do it, don't they? They tow a big sleeve.
A drug.
Yeah. Say, well, you've got to hit that. I mean, that's where they came. Him saying, "Look here, bud, I'm pulling this thing, not pushing it." they've got. What they've done, they spoilt themselves, because Southport is the nearest place. I shouldn't be talking on that, really, that thing. It was all women. You couldn't go wrong. Women, if you're women, you couldn't go wrong. And Southport was absolutely, I think, there's 100 women and 10 Matlows or something like that. You couldn't go wrong. And it was a beautiful thing to be there.
So they didn't want to pass their course?
They dipped their course. But they forgot one thing, that the POs and the chiefs, they went to Southport, and they was listening, coming back to the last train, see?
They were what?
They was listening to the conversation, the last train, because I suspect the POs and the chiefs were getting into trouble because the people wasn't passing, and they came and said, well, that's it.
So how did they put a stop to it?
They stopped your rum, and you didn't get another chance. They pushed you through where you was... good or you wasn't. You still only had to do 6 weeks, whatever it was. They sat around and said, "Well, you're not that dumb." I can always remember. You see, being on the Auckland and having no with beginning of the war, I could look up to you and look up there and say to a plane, "That's red 10, angle of sight 50." That means to say you'd be able to know exactly where I was pointing. But when I got done this course, I can always remember now, I've got this thing in front of me, this contraption where you're going to point and do that, sort it out. Because I didn't do it. I just said angle of sight so and so and so and so. He said you never looked at that. So I said, no, I said I don't myself. So he said, "What ships you been on?" I said fighting ships, but because these hadn't been in what's name. I'd come for it. I'd know we knew it. That was our life. If we didn't spot it, you was at it. See, but they expected you to manipulate and come out and say the plane to be gone by the time you was what's name. Because I said that. I said, "Well, this is the new Navy now. You got to do what we tell you. You got to do that because we had to do that sort of thing." That is in time, but I could say it within a flash. Angle sight 2 or red 50, red 60. I mean, our skipper, he knew it was something. You had to be quick. But as I say, when we done this gunnery course, the only thing about the gunnery course was you had to learn a bit about the gun. First of all, they learned you to Lewis gun. That was a bit of cake. That was more or less obsolete. They put you on a pom-pom. That's a Chicago piano. You've heard him before, that is a Chicago piano. And I can always remember that one. They stopped your rum and give you at night. Well, twice a week, you had to work late at night. You have your tea at 7 and at 5 or 4, and you have to go back for after half hour tea and it works at 7. Well, this particular night I was on pom-poms, and in the Navy you have to change crew, so if you get killed I take your job, and if I get killed you take my job. Well, because you're flying around, see, and the captain of the gun had to say still, you're actuating links and you're actuating links, actuating links, and something links has failed, see. Still means stop, see. Because when it turned in, I forgot, and I said, still, who's it and what's it to save? Of course, we all started laughing. I couldn't know what to say, so I said, who's it and what's it to save? See, because Bun started giggling, because they all started giggling. And there he was running around the old parade there. He was arguing with that. Because when we got back, just we were going to start again, someone would burst out laughing again. See? Oh, it was a funny turn it is.
So you got through your gunnery course.
Yeah.
Was this?
But I'll tell you, yeah.
Was this before or after Christmas, 1942?
Well, I couldn't say. I just say it was after Christmas 42.
And was it then that you were sent to Penelope?
No, I went. I went back. I had to wait. I had to go back in to wait for a ship. I went back into a barracks, and from barracks I went to the Isle of Wight. I had to be ashore for some while, because I recuperate from, you know, they give you so much ashore, not ashore, but away from action for about 6 months, and then they push you back in the sea again. See, I went to the Isle of Wight for a couple of months there, but then I got my draft not for the Penelope, but for the depot ship. I told you, Gibraltar, and I went home for a fortnight's leave for it, and I'd done about half of me. Leave, and I got a recall, because my old dad said to me, you've got a good ship there, it's a depot ship, you won't have no fighting to do there, boy. See, so I said, well, fair enough, Dad. I said, I hope so. But what I didn't know was a submarine depot ship. You could have been pushed in the submarines if it wasn't. Anyway, after done about 10 days, I got a recall. And I thought, well, the convoy must be going to Gibraltar now. But when I got back to the barracks at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, reported to the drafting office, I read out my number, PJX17187, Pettifer. So he said, oh, yes. He said, bag and baggage outside the drafting office at 0700 in the morning. And I said, oh, no, sir. Oh, no, you made a mistake there, sir. I said, I'm for the name of the ship. I can't say I'm a Greenwich or Woolwich or some local, is a big town ship it was. It was a depot ship. So he said, oh, and I could see him there going like that. You're right, he said, you're right. And I said, oh, thank goodness when I ain't got that Penelope. He said, well, cancel that, you pick up the Penelope 0700 in the morning. Out you go. And I went there. And I can remember now, I went round to my mate, my old Ruppo. He was on guard to it, he was in his hammock. And I shook him. This must have been about 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, here, Frank. I said, I've got a Penelope. Jump ship, he said, jump ship. He said, go on, beat it. No, I said, I've got it. I said, what's fate's fate? I said, well, you've got to go. And as I say, I went to board the old Penelope.
So even then, it had a bad reputation.
But it had, well, I'll be honest with you, they called it Daily Mirror ship. Everything happens to it is in the Daily Mirror, in the paper. The Daily Mirror, they call it the Daily Mirror ship. See? A matter of fact, she did smell that. Everything she done seemed to be getting the papers.
Had that chap deliberately posted you to the Penelope because you'd said that you didn't want to go to it.
No. He'd already got the... even the drafting office, it's all been fixed there. Probably what it's happened was that although I was on leave for another ship, they wanted an AA3 quick. And I went down here and said, well, this man's on a depot ship. Put him on an AA, put him on a ship that's going out immediately.
So when did you actually join the Penelope then?
I should say it's in December. December. I tell you it was December, because you remember I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas?
Yes.
Well, I was courting my wife then, and I took her up to London, because I was on that 14 days leave. I told you, embarkation leave. Yeah. And I took it there, so it wasn't Christmas. But yeah, 14 days leave. I took it out and I see it, and I can always remember it with tears in my eyes, because when I joined the Penelope, I didn't know a soul. You just imagine, you know, I just come back from a fortnight's leave. I didn't know, well, what's the name of leave? I've got shoved up on the Penelope. I didn't know anybody, and we went. Straight away I got it aboard at 0700 in the morning, and we went straight away to I think not Scapa, Scapa Flow, yeah. And I had to do anchor watch Christmas Eve. Anchor watch, you know, it's that rough out in that Scapa Flow, yeah. Now you have to do anchor watch so that the gale don't swing you away, and the ship's drifting away, you don't know it. So I believe it or not, I got that night, and in the mess that was all singing, I'm Dreaming White Christmas, tears in my eyes. I was like, what a life this is. Yeah, I always remember that. Yeah, as I say, we had to do our course there. We'd done about 6 weeks. They put you through your paces, nearly turn the ship over, you know, they turn over there, they really give you what for, and you do all your gunnery in rough weather, they'll open that at me. And then after 6 weeks we went straight out to the Med, went through Bay of Biscay, rough as hell it was, no one's allowed up there, especially a couple of boats, you know, whalers. Got the jib. The jib went to Malta, and that was our base, Malta.
And that, of course, was where Penelope in the early part of 1942 had got smashed up.
No, that was before. No, I wasn't on them when she got smashed up in
Malta.
No, that was, I should say.
She was returning to the place where she had got smashed up.
That's right, yes. And then what do you think they said? I said to the Maltese, you go home, you go away, you no good, you fetch bombs. That's what they said when we landed there the second time. They knew it wasn't they, yeah, see?
So they were a bit superstitious about it.
Yes, they say you love that, but they didn't. They didn't love England at all. They didn't like, no, as I say. When you weighed up, the ships used to get in there and they'd be sunk before they ever attempted to unload them. It was only the Tommies that was there that helped to load. What's the name? So you see, Malta is full of caves, hundreds of feet down. They were safe down there. They wouldn't come up. I hate Malta myself. I wouldn't. Everybody like going down to Malta for holidays. I said, well, you must be mad. You know, after being there for a while.